Can, and if so, how may one formally take refuge as your lay disciple? Do you think it is useful if one is genuine and sincere about it? And the taking of refuge is it's very powerful, and so that and especially when you know when one does it formally, that's one of the, I would say, the benefits and powers of ceremony or ritual. Because that's it isn't as if sort of all ceremony and ritual is just sort of empty and not beneficial. It's one can use those kind of ceremony as a means for really clarifying what one's doing, clarifying one's intention. It's a powerful reminder for oneself when one does that, and then also in terms of establishing a relationship with a teacher. It does give opportunities for when one has questions or doubts or difficulties, that it's an open, then there's an open channel to be able to deal with that. So one just is having resources to work with the practice. The taking of refuge, on a certain level, is a very simple ceremony, it just seems. Buddhang saranam gacchami, dhammang saranam gacchami, sanghang saranam gacchami. I take the Buddha's refuge, I take the Dhamma's refuge, I take the Sangha's refuge for the second time, for the third time, and then taking the five precepts. And you think, well, that's, it's pretty, it's over pretty quickly. but it's that, formulating the intention, doing it in a formal way. So it's, this is just what I really want to do. And actually, that recitation of those, say the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, three times, that was actually the way that monks ordained. And it was in the very, still in the quite the early days of the Buddha's teachings, that constituted ordination, a monastic ordination. And it's also something that, in reality, as we continue to explore those refuges, that's, it forms the core, the kernel of liberation, of enlightenment. It's just really knowing in one's heart what a refuge truly is, and because we take refuge in all sorts of things. It's like again Ajahn Mahabua, who's a tremendous energy for practice and teaching, but on a personality level, he's kind of intimidating. He does not suffer fools, if you did something that he thought wasn't right, I mean, just bite your head off. You know, and he's kind of scary to approach. He's just really, he's just. I've always had a very, whenever I've met him, he's always been extraordinarily kind to me, and I've had very good, but I know that and I've seen him with other people. I said, whoa. You know, and he seems quite gruff and even angry at times. But one of the things people would write, because he was recognized as such a great practitioner and teacher, then people would write to him asking questions to him. And he would write letters back to people. If people asked about Dhamma practice, he'd always write back to them. Giving them advice but he used to, there's different ways he used to sign his name because somebody who's quite you know sort of intimidating, but he was quite playful when he was writing, so sometimes he was sort of, you know, and he'd give this really good explanation of Dhamma, and then he'd sign it sort of the monk who takes his pillow as refuge. You know? So that the refuge that we take in so many different ways. Ajahn Yatiko this afternoon with it. Things get tough. You go to the fridge. Mm-hmm.